There's the King, St Waterloo sunset, sunset sleep time. But how well do you sleep? Not having a bad night's sleep can leave us feeling cranky and perhaps not necessarily looking our best. But did you know a bad night's sleep can also affect pregnancy, epilepsy or anti-cancer treatments? Two academics from the University of Warwick are launching their new book tonight called Sleep, Health and Society, and it examines how sleep and lack of it affects our lives. Dr. Franco Capuccio is Professor of Cardiovascular Medicine at the University of Warwick, who is at Warwick Books right now. Hello, Dr. Capuccio, how are you?
Oh, very well, thank you.
Good, I'm pleased. Did you sleep well last night?
Yes, very well indeed.
So what kind of things do you know about sleep that we perhaps don't as a result of your study into this book?
Well, I think this book is really being published addressing lay audience rather than academics. It's trying to make the general public aware of the many facets, the many aspects in which sleep deprivation or bad sleep quality can affect our life in the short, medium and long term. And examines things from the point of view of a bit of the biology of sleep, very little, in very simple ways, and then moving into some of the links between sleep deprivation, so short duration of sleep, and the development of common diseases, from obesity to diabetes to influence with pain, how can influence the effectiveness of cancer treatment. Then there are aspects of sociology we're very much interested in, and people would be interested to know what are the implications of bad sleep in relation to family, relationships, motherhood, late in life, you know, caring for other people, etc. And then we have historical perspective, trying to see how our patterns of sleep have developed over history. A nice chapter on what sleep was like during Victorian times, for instance. And to go to also important aspects of how much dangerous it is, lack of sleep, in relation to drowsy driving, car accidents, medical errors from junior doctors being tired whilst they're on call. And I can go on and on and on.
So are there any sort of tips? Because, I mean, there are lots of reasons why people don't necessarily get good sleep. It could be shift work. It could be that you're a new parent, short sleeping patterns. Older age, a lot of people who, as they get older, really struggle to sleep. So are there tips in there to help us get better sleep?
Yes, first of all, there is a sort of summary of evidence and facts in reported in a very simple way. And there are some of the explanations why these things happen. And in some of the chapters, there are potential solutions for it, yes. We also have an account of what it's like living with a disabling sleep condition. We have Mr. O'Neill, who's the president of Narcolepsy UK, he's a charity organization. He's coming to join us right now, later on, to talk about what it's like living with narcolepsy, which is a disabling condition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many people
suddenly
know about,
sleep.
But it's becoming more and more common in terms of being recognized by GPs and health professionals.
So then what are your top tips then for getting a really good night's sleep?
Well, first of all, is not to give in to the pressure of modern life. Because that is the main reason why we are cutting down on our average duration of sleep, which should be at least 6 to 8 hours per night. And more than a quarter of the population now sleeps less than 6 hours per night on a regular basis. When you look into it, the majority don't have diseases. They have just pressurizing their lives in trading off this commodity for other things, work, traveling times to go back and forth to work, leisure time, other activities, and what you tend to cut is sleep. And I think we want to raise the alarm bell that is not a good idea.
No, so actually it is the sleep that you need because you function better with more sleep.
Yes.
And is it about establishing a pattern then?
Well, routine are very important. Routine guarantee that you have a healthy behavior across your life. You can afford one or two nights of short sleep. We all do that. You can recover. You feel a bit tired and you recover. It's the chronic long-term habit of not sleeping enough that we highlight as a major sudden subtle problem that slips in your life and causes problems in the long term.
Is it an area that more and more people are becoming interested in?
Yes, it's very much the flavor of the year. I think now, over the past 10 years, we have developed at Warwick a big program alongside colleagues from Warwick, like Dr. Miller, who's with me in charge of this program, as well as people at Harvard in Boston, Harvard Medical School, and Monash in Australia. This is a global problem that we're addressing with global colleagues around the world, because the problems are common across different countries and different continents.
And do the kind of establishment of a routine, is it the same solution across the world to it, or are there different solutions?
There are personal things you can do in terms of behavior, but I wouldn't want to leave the idea that only due to your choices.
Yeah.
The environment in which we live is fundamentally responsible for having cut down sleeping hours of the last 100 years by more than 2.5 hours on average. So we have sound pollution,
yeah.
We have light pollution, we have stressful lives and demands on our time that we need to really negotiate, not only ourselves individually, but also some policy actions at a more general level.
Thank you so much. Best of luck. The event's at Warwick Books tonight. Can anyone come along?
I think tickets are sold out now.
Oh, well done you. Now, that'll give you a good night's sleep. If nothing else, we'll sold out at Warwick Books. Congratulations. Thank you very much. Dr. Franca Cappuccio is with us on the programme this evening. Listen, thanks for your company. It's been a complete pleasure. I should be back with you, waking you up to your weekend.